episode 4 of Gold Mafia.
We love the gangster lifestyle. You live by the gun, you die by the gun.
The biggest challenge Zimbabwe now faces is the gold mafia.
Al Jazeera's investigative unit infiltrates the rival gangs that control Africa's gold.
As long as you grease the wheels in Africa, there's no issue.
Smuggling. That's what it is, smuggling.
All the paper trails legitimate. It's not like somebody can question on you.
Former members of the gold mafia speak exclusively to the I unit.
The gold mafia is bigger than the government, bigger than any of the authorities.
What do you think is going to happen?
They kill you, don't they?
Exactly.
Undercover journalists pose as gangsters who want to launder more than $100 million.
It's Blackburn.
How are you?
Funds are substantial.
The I unit obtains thousands of confidential documents that expose how organized crime uses gold to launder money.
You sold it to a refinery and the money got paid in the bank account. So it's very clean that way.
Once it's refined, it's practically brand new gold.
Good washing machine, right?
In the final episode, a member of the gold mafia goes into hiding.
They will come after me. That's a given. Had I stayed there, I would be dead by the time this hits the first 5 minutes of play.
And undercover reporters learn about the godfathers of the gold mafia.
You won't believe this. My godfather is the president right now.
There's no president or head of state. Like, either of us can't get in this continent.
When you walk, you must always have the king with you, the president.
In South Africa, money laundering is like the new in thing for the rich people. Everyone is doing it. It's just who can hide it the best way.
Daoud Khan was part of the gold mafia's money laundering operation for over 6 years. He's now in hiding after agreeing to provide evidence to the I unit.
It's a scary, scary world that I'm about to embark into, purely for just voicing the truth of what's really transpired and putting names of people that were involved in this conspiracy. When this documentary breaks in South Africa, Daoud Khan will be the most wanted person in South Africa, from government officials to the underworld to my own brother.
Daoud's brother is Mohammed Khan. He's one of South Africa's most successful money launderers. He's also known as Mo Dollars.
I've worked with him. I mean, we're brothers. I try to look at the good. I try to be the best brother to my brother. And I failed at that. I have to face the consequences for that at the end of the day. And my consequences now is I have to hide from my own family. I'd never see my mother again in my life. She dies tomorrow. I wouldn't even know. I can't attend the funeral.
Me and him came from nothing. We didn't even pay electricity. We had nothing, nothing. Before this business, we had quite a normal life. I think 5-6 years into our marriage, he started doing things that was questionable. And he used to come in every day with money. And then I used to ask him, but what is this?
His passion became fast cars, luxury brands, and traveling. Showing his wealth, wearing fancier clothes, it became name brands, Rolexes or Targ watches.
Oh, yeah, this. He used to tell me, you must wear clothes to show people you are a millionaire. As the years go by, the money is bigger, the millions are coming in. It was part of our lifestyle, just to do whatever we want.
Daoud joins his brother's asset management company in 2011.
I became a permanent employee of Mohammed and his partner at the time, Sohail Jiwani.
Sohail Jiwani introduced Mo Dollars to money laundering. They worked together until his death in 2020.
What they were facilitating on a daily basis was hawala, as they would call it, or money laundering as it would be commonly known as.
Daoud soon becomes aware of the company his brother keeps.
When I just joined Mohammed's business, Mohammed and Sohail had a meeting at the Michelangelo Cigar Lounge out in Sandton.
The Michelangelo is one of Johannesburg's elite hotels.
After a couple of minutes, two individuals came in. They greeted Sohail and Mohammed and myself, and they announced that individual that we were expecting would be arriving shortly, and in a mere few seconds, he was escorted into the cigar lounge. The bodyguard then headed to the door, blocked the door off. Mohammed and Sohail then proceeded on having a meeting.
Daoud has no idea who the visitor is.
After their meeting, Mohammed actually, on the way to the car, said, Google the name Daoud Ibrahim. And when I Googled the name Daoud Ibrahim, I actually picked up the individual. He's on the FBI's top 10 most wanted individuals.
Daoud Ibrahim is an Indian gangster and drug kingpin. He heads the organized crime syndicate D Company. A few months later, the D Company Don turns up again.
Mohammed happened to invite myself and my family on a trip to Dubai. In the cigar lounge in the Jumeirah Beach Hotel, with Mohammed and Sohail once again, a meeting with the very same individual transpired. With the amount of security that was there and the way things were being handled from these individuals, you could see it was someone that was trying to stay out of the public eye.
Daoud Ibrahim is accused of being the mastermind behind bombings in India.
A series of 13 coordinated blasts ripped through Mumbai, leaving over 250 people dead, 700 others injured, and property worth 28 crores.
This is someone that's really wanted by the FBI, yet alone other countries around the world, but is able to come into South Africa, freely walk into a public setting such as the Michelangelo, then go into Jumeirah Beach Hotel in the United Arab Emirates that has cameras at almost every corner. Till today, I still also question, how is it possible?
Mo Dollars and his wife are guests at a birthday party attended by the King of the Zulu Nation, the largest ethnic group in South Africa.
King Goodwill Zwelithini, who was a Zulu king, a very influential person when he was alive, he has passed on. This is an individual that controls the Zulu public of South Africa in general. He is very well respected and people look up to him. Mohammed was at the birthday party, socializing with the king, with his family, and with various dignitaries that were also invited to the party. And Mohammed also shared a very elaborate gift.
The gift is an uncut diamond. King Zwelithini proved useful to Mo Dollars when Jacob Zuma was South Africa's president.
He's incredibly influential as the king of Zululand, effectively. He is obviously very closely connected to Jacob Zuma as well. Jacob Zuma is very famously a Zulu traditionalist, and he would be sort of paying fealty and allegiance to King Kgodwozalathini.
It's the very same individual who's also got the capability of pulling strings within government to get decisions made. And Jacob Zuma and family heavily rely on his support. I was very shocked and surprised by the caliber of people that Mohammed and Sohail were meeting with. I mean, I was new, so I didn't really know what to expect.
There's no president ahead of state, like, either of us can't get to on this continent.
Alistair Mathias is a gold trader. He designs money laundering schemes for African leaders.
Next door, Swaziland, the king, is a close friend of mine. The Zambia president's a close friend of my friend. DRC Congo, the president has invited me several times there to come and build a refinery.
So these can help people like us to get money clean.
Mr. Stanley leads the I-Unit undercover team. Reporters are posing as gangsters who need to launder $100 million in dirty cash from China.
Ghana president is a good friend of mine. In fact, he was my lawyer. Like Cyril Ramaphosa here, I know him, I know his kids.
Yeah. Zimbabwe is easy.
Ewan McMillan is a gold smuggler from Zimbabwe. They call him Mr. Gold. They refer to Zimbabwe's president, Mnangagwa, by his initials, E.D.
Zim, E.D. is my partner. I can't say it in public because he's sanctioned.
I know E.D. as well.
But they don't know each other.
3 months ago, sitting with him, chatting to him.
Mnangagwa's protection proves useful.
The good news is whatever I told him, he did. You know that, eh? You see him, he's... when I was getting hurt, I said, stop it, here, and he did it. Within 2 weeks, he fixed everything.
President Mnangagwa, ED, came to Macmillan's aid in a dispute with John Mangudzka, the governor of Zimbabwe's Reserve Bank.
You know Mangudzka's problem? I said to him, Mangudzka's, I think he's dirty. You need to find him out. ED went and fixed him.
Serious?
Hmm?
These connections come at a price.
You pay a guy money every month. You just get a partner and you just pay the guy so much money a month and he just sits back and he's happy, don't care. That's what happens.
Ms. Sin is Mr. Stanley's financial advisor. She says they've already had discussions with a gold trader in Zimbabwe.
We meet with this person in mining.
You met a white guy?
Yeah.
Hubert Angel is Zimbabwe's presidential envoy and senior diplomat. He's also an evangelical pastor and self-proclaimed prophet.
Here's the big envelope, he said. He says not religion.
Ricky Doolan is in the diplomatic mafia through marriage. He's known as Pastor Ricky and is Angel's sidekick at the Good News Church.
By the power of the Holy Ghost.
Angel claims he can perform miracles. His weekly performances draw thousands of believers.
If I be a prophet of God, let miracle money appear now!
Miracles are happening.
One miracle makes money appear in the bank accounts of his followers.
Out in Nigeria and break into satanic warehouses.
Hey, man.
I recover what the enemy has stolen from you.
Hey, man.
In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare miracle money. Miracle money.
Is it happening? Is it happening?
He dismisses Ewan McMillan as a has-been and says he knows someone better suited to launder Mr. Stanley's money.
Let me just show you.
Yeah. Thing,
right here.
Oh my God.
Can
oh
I see? My God. He's the biggest gold guy in Zimbabwe.
Wow.
He's the right there. He's in his innings. I was sleeping on 5 million. $5 million. Yeah. So this guy so used funny. To clean Macmillan's car. Macmillan was the one that this one went for.
Do me a favor. Whatever you do, listen to what I say. Don't invest. The black guy.
Okay.
Goodbye. They will tell you just lies. You'll invest. You'll lose all your money. Do not trust any black person.
It's good that we know it's Macmillan, because Macmillan doesn't control nothing. This was his worker cleaning his car. He is the number one now in Zimbabwe.
Skoda.
Number one.
Yeah, number one without that.
We can just call him right now.
What is his name?
Scott Cooper. That's him with gold. That's in his arm.
His newfound wealth is a reward for his loyalty.
Of course, he's and the president. Yeah.
Scott Sakopwanya is a key fundraiser for Mnangagwa's election campaign. He's taken over Macmillan's moniker.
He's trying to call him. Let him call.
Hey, Waruaga.
So I've got some good investors for you here. They're hearing you already. So from January, what have you gotten right now? What have you sold?
That was 6 tons.
6 tons from January, 10 months. Okay. So if somebody wants to invest with you, what happens?
I can get 10% per month.
Oh, so if you get cash from someone, you give them 10% per month for every money they give you?
Yes.
10%. All right. But it's guaranteed they will get those the things.
10%.
How do you move their money back to them?
It depends where they're from. If they're from Dubai, I can use their Dubai account.
Okay.
Anyway, if they hold, I can manage to get them something. Not a problem for me.
Ewan McMillan deals mostly with President Mnangagwa's son.
I can put you straight in touch with him. That's no problem. He's a friend of mine. Let me meet him, no problem.
What is his name?
His name is Emerson too.
McMillan was with the president shortly after he was elected.
I had to kind of have dinner with him. I walked in, he said, "Good to see you, my old friend." And I said, "Very good to see you and well done in your position." And said, "No problem, let's reach out."
Macmillan and his father have been jailed for gold smuggling.
You won't believe this. My father is the president. I did 60 days in prison. And my partner is the new prison.
I got sent to very ginormous blackout. Like when I say big, they were just huge. And they said, "You know who your partner is. Don't mention it."
Mnangagwa sends a message.
He turned around to me and said, don't open your mouth, your life will get worse than it is. I said, are you kidding me?
Macmillan notices that Mr. Stanley is wearing a Rolex watch.
So the steel Daytona I have...
call that the Paul Newman.
My dad always used to say to me, you always got to wear the best watch because everyone looks to see your watch. I have the Submariner. I have the gold Submariner. And I have two presidents. Wait, I believe this. You won't believe this. This is between us. I have Mnangagwa's gold-studded president Rolex. Because the son ran into debt and had to pay the debt off, so he gave me the Rolex. I paid the debt off, and he said, please don't tell my dad. And I think, man, you joking. I've got the dad's watch. This blue face with gold studs all around. So I have all that in a safe, and I run a Casio. It's a fake Seiko. A fake Casio. Have you ever seen a fake Casio? Have you ever seen a fake Casio?
It was a working day towards a very late afternoon. We had security detail coming into the office and telling us that they need to do a walkabout on the property.
Daoud was working at the offices of his brother's firm.
We asked why, and they said they just need to do a walkabout because the president is on their way and they need to ensure security. Road got shut down. The motorcade pulled in. Jacob Zuma arrived, and it was merely just a stop by to say hello. But Mohammed wasn't there. They didn't ask us if Mohammed was there. And he didn't even step out of a car for a matter of 30 seconds because Mohammed wasn't there, and he departed soon after. That's the level of respect of the relationship that you've got a president of the country popping by to say hi.
Mo Dollars builds connections to the ruling African National Congress, or ANC.
The key person within this relationship is Tendana.
Tendana Mbetse is a business and political fixer. His connections come from his uncle, Solise Mbetse, who died in 2021.
His uncle is an economics advisor to Nelson Mandela, after which he becomes the head of UBS Bank in South Africa. He's also head of the South African branch of HSBC. And he is just generally very well politically connected.
And the Mbetse name goes a long way in southern African countries. And Tendana utilizes that to his benefit.
Mo Dollar's company, Salt Asset Management, appoints Tendana Mbetse as a business agent. Emails between Mo Dollars and Tendana reveal a number of collaborations.
And he'd be the middleman in connecting the dots to ensure something is sourced and it materializes ultimately into a deal.
Tendana is required to attract business worth at least $2 billion a year. He'll be paid a commission.
We've implemented a mandate allowing Tendana Mbetse to broker deals between Salt Asset Management and government structures, whether it be for utility services, procurement projects, as well as trade finance projects.
Tendana refers to Mo Dollars as boss.
Tendana, as a black individual in South Africa, had the credibility and the capability to get into doors that would be close to a non-black person. He opened doors, ultimately, to business Mohammed would never have the potential to ever see on his own.
Tandana then arranges for Mo Dollars to have a meeting that will propel his money laundering operation to new levels.
So Mohammed met with the Guptas. The introduction was made by Tandana and Betsy.
The three brothers play a major role in corrupting the South African state.
The Guptas knew who Mohammed was. They knew he was capable as a money launderer. It's just now Tandana brokering the deal.
The Guptas are closely linked to President Jacob Zuma.
A celebration for one of the country's most politically connected families, the Guptas.
Government ministers attend a four-day wedding for the daughter of one of the brothers. Guests from India had arrived at a South African military airbase.
A lot of people saying that the plane was allowed to land there because of your connections to President Jacob Zuma?
I don't think so at all. I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. Some unknown reason are trying to create this controversy, believe me.
And the furore didn't seem to deter high-profile businessmen, former and current government ministers, from attending.
I've come to enjoy myself, and I'm enjoying myself.
During the period of Jacob Zuma's administration, you had individuals, businessmen, who effectively gained control of the state through bribing officials and generating a relationship with the president and the president's family.
It's called state capture.
The state starts to generate its own policy in order to generate corrupt benefit for these politicians. So you have all these decisions being made about how to spend taxpayers' money, which has nothing to do with the value it generates for the taxpayer, but only for the value it's going to generate for the criminal enterprise.
Paul Holden is one of the chief investigators for the Zondo Commission, an inquiry set up to examine state capture under Jacob Zuma.
What I investigated for the commission was the extent to which the Gupta family decided what policies were going to be pursued by different state enterprises that pushed particular procurement policies.
Holden presented the bank statements to the commission with billions of rands paid to Gupta entities. He dealt with about 250 contracts that were awarded to the Gupta enterprises.
Regiment's capital plays a central role in state capture.
The Gupta family directed state contracts towards companies like Regiment's. And actually, we were able to trace about R1 billion was paid to Regiment's over time.
Regiment's is politically connected to various government officials or ex-government officials. This is a firm that will basically look at assisting government officials to legitimize business deals, tenders, looting, state capture, and getting the funds out through bank accounts. They would then utilize the service of certain brokers such as Mohammed to then launder that money out of the country.
Mo Dollars has a man inside Regiment's. Andile Nahonya was a founding director of Regiment's. He brings business to Mo Dollars.
We start with business case development, we end up with implementation, and we want to be in that full cycle.
And Dile and Konya is very well integrated into the government departments. A lot of close relatives of his sitting on state-owned entities. And plays an advisory role to a lot of government members, ministers, past presidents, and I'm led to believe also the current president.
A property development by Regiment's attracts Mo Dollar's attention.
It is arguably the single most important site in Johannesburg and certainly in many respects in South Africa as well.
Mo Dollars meets a senior regiment's director. They discuss investing his company's funds in the development.
The relationship you've got with Dindana, Mohammed, Ndili, and all the government officials that's been in and out of our offices is a very close relationship. Between them, they would refer to it as the bro code.
A UN conference on climate change brings President Mnangagwa and the diplomatic mafia to Glasgow. They're meeting undercover reporters in a restaurant. Ricky Doolin is concerned they'll be overheard.
We go back. What's the standard of
say? You call Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jones?
Mm-hmm. Number one, or Mr. Jones, refers to President Mnangagwa. The First Family has an affectionate name for Ambassador Angel.
Mr. and Mrs. Jones called him their son. But it's like a connection relationship. You get it?
Doolin brings up the money Mr. Stanley needs to pay for the meeting with the president.
Remember the appreciation you talked about?
Yes.
You talked about one of him, and you were going to break it down to the committee.
Angel will deliver an initial payment of $200,000 to the president.
What we're going to do is take all of that appreciation and give it to Mr. Jones to say, this is to appreciate you for welcoming our guests and having a meeting and blah, 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 blah. So that's what we want to do, so that Mr. Jones can feel appreciated.
So how much for Mr. Jones?
We wanted to give the 200.
Oh, okay.
Well, even if you can transfer money,
that's okay.
At least it's... The 200 was kind of what want to give him.
Mm.
But even if I can do the one, because you are planning to translate the 100 today.
Yes.
Is it still possible?
Angel, who Doolin calls his principal, is second in line.
You give Mr. Doolin the first one.
Okay.
So then maybe as it goes along, each one that you give us, we'll make sure Mr. Jones, we'll just keep saying, this is more appreciation.
Some of that's also for...
Yeah, some will stay with the principal. We'll make sure Ambassador is not the first one. The first one came straight to Mr. Jones.
That's me talking to the president now. This is the president. That's the president. Mm. This is the governor of the Reserve Bank, this one here.
Kamlesh Patni is a gold trader and money launderer. He's also the founder of a church and calls himself Brother Paul.
So this is the first lady. There's me. The wife is the first lady, wife of Mnangagwa.
Patni takes undercover reporters to his base in Dubai. He does business with President Mnangagwa in Zimbabwe.
He's a very tough man. Ruthless man, even. He's tough.
Ruthless. They call him the crocodile.
Johnny is a member of the undercover team. He's posing as the Hawala man, a black market money trader.
The crocodile, he removed Mugabe. You know, it's unheard of. He's not French. But he's friendly, but it takes time.
But this is his number. I call him Tempo.
What's that him?
I always give him how much we have done.
Keep him informed that.
Yeah, he has to be informed. Yeah. I was just writing a message, yeah?
This is the president's number?
Yeah.
What's that? Direct to the president.
Yeah, direct. He has to talk direct. Yeah. Okay, I have to inform him. Yes, sir. I got delayed in Dubai as I had to undergo. And when I was in hospital,
You were in hospital?
Yeah.
I had to inform him.
Patni's loyalty to the president buys him protection. It's something the undercover team could also share.
Join hands with you, we will have the protection of an undercover.
Of course, I'll call him, you'll see. You'll see, I'll call him when you are the or when you come. We can visit. I know so many presidents. The biggest protection,
yes.
The president of all those presidents is God. Yes. The biggest protection is my church, yes. My preach, my God. So that's why it's important to have that faith.
Mr. Stanley's deal to pay Patney $10 million to launder his money appears to have the president's blessing.
Mama Nago knows about this scheme.
No, of course he knows. He had Henley. Yeah.
Do we have to pay for the service?
No, 100%. You don't make the authority complicit. But he knows, of course, he knows, yes. But he can't, he will not talk to openly. This is like the norm of life. The incentives, the fees.
Appreciation.
Patney uses someone he trusts to pay the president.
We will meet him. We will take it with you also. Every 2 weeks, extra time, my brother is there. Every fortnight, he is there at the State House. We always contribute our appreciation
to the
king himself. When you walk, you must always have the king with you, the president.
Researcher Paul Holden is back at the State Capture Inquiry. Holden explained how the Gupta family laundered money gained through government contracts.
The Zondo Commission publishes its findings.
The money laundering networks used by the Gupta enterprise were complex, well-established and embedded in a pre-existing milieu of criminality and wrongdoing.
As soon as funds move from South Africa offshore, it becomes increasingly difficult to access those sort of bank statements, and it creates effectively a blind spot.
The Commission has not been able to trace these funds to their final destinations.
We always suspect that it went back to the Guptas or one of their lieutenants, but we could never prove that.
But the money launderers did make one mistake.
We had this incredible breakthrough very late in the day of our investigations, is that we followed the money to Vala Zone.
Vala Zone is a South African company that pays Griffin Line Trading in Dubai almost $250,000. The direct payments are spotted by investigators.
And Griffin Line Trading, we know 100% is controlled by the Guptas. This is the first payment we see going through this network. You know, all the state capture money stolen from the state going through this network and actually exiting to a known Gupta account.
The commission identifies Vala Zone's director. But Bakari is just a nominee, a front for the real owner of the company. The Zondo Commission also names another company used as a buffer to confuse banking regulators.
Vala Zone was paid state capture funds via an entity called Zocubite.
Vala Zone and Zocubite were really key to our investigation with the Guptas because they were some of the only links we saw going direct from the local money laundering network directly to the Guptas. That was a huge break for us. It was like the gold dust find. This proves that this is the network that they are definitely using and it is going to benefit the Guptas.
The Zondo Commission did not discover who was behind these companies.
I have been unable to identify any relationship or connection between the Gupta enterprise or any other part of the laundering networks and the directors of Vala Zone and Zocubite.
The The I-Unit's cache of documents features both Varlazone and Zokubyte. They reveal that Varlazone receives funds from a Zokubyte account controlled by M. Khan. Varlazone is the company making direct payments to the Guptas.
That payment was done by Mohammed. With him being so paranoid, it was like only he and the individuals themselves would know. Mohammed facilitated the payments through the Guptas and done the payments out for them.
The documents include the company's bank statements, invoices, and the ID of Varlazone's director. But the true boss of Varlazone and Zokubyte is Mo Dollars, whose money trail leads to the Guptas.
That proves our working theory that the Guptas were using pre-existing money laundering entity. Definitely the Guptas were using a network run by this Mohammed Khan person, this Mo Dollars person, which I find, you know, incredibly intriguing.
State capture has been a key contributor to a lot of the funds that was laundered out of the country by Mohammed. Either piggybacking off existing accounts under other clients' names or going through Mohammed and Sohail's own companies, fictitious companies that they've set up themselves.
Undercover reporters present a fictitious proposal to launder $1.2 billion of dirty money by building a casino in Zimbabwe.
What we are going to do is hotel, casino, and the market.
And so the gold side of it, that's one of the best things you can come up with.
The plan is to build on prime land overlooking Victoria Falls. It's considered one of the seven wonders of the natural world. Angel says the president has land nearby.
Who is this one? President, right? I found a nice place in Victoria Falls. In the town Victoria Falls itself, you have a lot of land that is owned by, of course, you can understand, that then it's easy to dispose of it. Just go like, let's take this, let's put it this way, let's put it this way. I think you understand when I say that. So it becomes easy. That's what I said. So I want one-on-one so I can tell them about the...
To build the casino, Mr. Stanley will need to smuggle into Zimbabwe a huge volume of dirty cash from Hong Kong. Angel proposes flying in the cash on the president's plane. Or they use Mr. Stanley's private jet.
My mom.
Hello.
Angel calls the first lady, Auxilia Manangagwa.
Remember those people that want to move cash? They would want to know, are we providing the planes or they provide the planes?
The president is referred to as father.
Oh, Dovun Zababa. So I will present it to him, then he will discuss which planes he uses, his or their own.
President Mnangagwa has not yet agreed to use his plane to smuggle Stanley's money.
Mum, but sometimes he will be busy. But we spoke about it.
So I'm just going to present it today. Then. Okay. Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll do that. But it's not as I see, it's achievable. As you know. Yeah. Okay. Okay, ma'am. Okay, ma'am. Thank you so much. Musandi sum zira mebo, ma'am. Musandi sum zira mebo. Dahin zwa mevesh. Let me just say to you, what you want to do is happening. All right. You have got the president, right? You've got his family involved. So I kept on asking, but it's possible to do this, right? Like, yes, it's possible. But that's, we can do that. We can do that. But which plane to use? It depends. They are on whether they want to use their own or want to use ours. Your own will be good. Yeah. Theirs will be good. Anything.
Yes.
Number five controls the.
That's right.
Number one.
When Zimbabwe's president travels, there is a protocol that airport staff need to observe.
There will be guys from the president's office. So they come and then they say they want to talk to the supervisor.
Cleopas Chidodo is a security supervisor at Harare Airport. He works for the Civil Aviation Authority.
I'm called and then they say, my friend, you know, we are from First Family. Don't worry about it. Then that's it. So there's nothing you can do.
So it happens very often?
Very often. Very often. They're big. They were big. And they were.
Chidodo recalls when the former president's wife, Grace Mugabe, smuggled ivory out of Zimbabwe.
She wanted to take things out, and Mugabe did not know. And they would go out there, and kill elephants, stuff like that, poachers. And then they would prepare the ivory, and then it would come to the airport as the cargo, big containers. If the ivory comes, and the supervisor is making some questions, and the people say it's for the First Family and no one asks.
The I unit obtains a document which appears to confirm that the First Family and its entourage are exempt from being searched at the airport.
If he's traveling with his family, then the president and his family are not safe.
Chidodo says Grace Mugabe used the protocol to smuggle diamonds.
So you say the plane go to the diamond mine?
Mm-hmm. And then they select some nice diamonds. They put in the plane. There was diamond that was everywhere, everywhere. So a plane will go there and take diamond, come to the airport, and it goes straight to Dubai. No papers, no what. So they were making money.
Who?
Grace.
Yeah.
It comes to the airport, and then they say, this plane is for First Family, you see. So they made a lot of money.
Mr. Stanley needs to pay a fee to meet President Mnangagwa. Angel makes a phone call to find out how.
So, the weather is ghost. My business and language to the president's account.
He's speaking to someone close to the president.
They say instant to 24 hours.
Yeah.
So it's not something that you like boom there. It's not like that. There is a question on what or because we're going to say there even whether the way we move is in a startup. So, the whole thing is to see your team up. I'm going to go to the next one. I'm going to go to the next one.
The meeting with Mnangagwa only goes ahead when the bribe is in his account.
Okay, so proof of payment. So I just take the proof of payment here. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. So I will set for 9 if we have that POP, proof of payment. There is always a culture we need to do to turn upon that.
The companies Mo Dollars uses to launder state capture funds, Valazone and Zokubite, send the money offshore through Sasfin Bank. The transactions were facilitated by Hussein Shanara. He was in charge of the bank's foreign exchange payments. He was also on Mo Dollar's payroll.
He would basically ensure that his staff is pushing through this work unquestioned to ensure that the payment is done to the satisfaction of, obviously, Mohammed.
The files include private communications between Hussein and Mo Dollars.
Mohammed's inquiring from Hussein to give him balances on Valuzone, which is $30,054.
The balances indicate how much dirty money can be laundered through each account.
Zokubite balance to Shanxi, $26,272. Mohammed replies to Hussein, damn too little, I need to up it. As an example, right, we've got now, Valuzone is paying Hangzhou.
The fraud begins when Hangzhou Yada, a Chinese textile company, invoices Valuzone for a consignment of towels worth $380,000. No goods are sent, but Mo Dollars pays the invoice in installments based on how much he needs to launder. A transfer of $50,000 and other transfers have left only $30,000 outstanding. That's all that's left to launder on that invoice. The sum can be topped up when another fake invoice is sent by Hangzhou Yada.
Nobody's going to ask anything because it's already on the system. All the compliance checks has already been done on the first payment. Just let it go through.
The messages refer to a third company involved in the money laundering.
Total balance, $68,104. He says, that's good.
He mentions Coral General Tradings as well, which is a company that came up in our investigation. So exactly what, you know, he's describing orally what I've seen in the documents and in the paper trails, almost perfectly.
The three companies are identified by the Zondo Commission on State Capture as working together to launder the Gupta's money.
Valuzone, Zokubite, Coral. They all played the same role. You couldn't utilize the same account on a daily basis. You'd spread your funds across different accounts, different times across a week or a month.
Zokubite and Coral have accounts at other banks as well as Sasfin. These are pooling accounts that receive illicit funds from multiple sources and then transfer to Valuzone. Mo Dollars admits wrongdoing involving Coral.
At worst, I get arrested. I'm going to be arrested for the stuff that was done on Coral.
There was a complex of companies They would move the money from Zuckerbyte into Vala's own or into another entity and then move that abroad.
Hong Kong and mainland China are the destinations for state capture funds.
When we traveled to Hong Kong and to Guangzhou, China, you've got Mormon soil that's got individuals that's working for them, that's running cash houses for them in those countries.
In Hong Kong's Kowloon district, a company claiming to provide secretarial services plays another role.
We would send them the details. We need a company open preferably. We'll give them three company names that we want.
Mo Dollars sends a request to Hashmi Secretarial Services. Hashmi offers hundreds of companies to choose from.
You can basically walk into their offices, open up companies. You're just basically giving him signatures. 2-3 days later, you go back, you pick up your box that contains all the original documents. It's a little green box that you receive. And in the green box, you've got your certificates of the company with the stamps of the company and with all the seals for on the certificates and you name it.
The documents reveal Mo Dollars launders money into 55 companies in Hong Kong and China. Some are named by an HSBC internal investigation as among clients that received more than $240 million of Gupta money.
They will go into HSBC Bank on Dathan Road. They had a guy there, they had a connection there.
There's relationships in HSBC specifically where they were able to get accounts opened in other individuals' names, and they would then manage those accounts from South Africa.
The Zondo Commission finds that over $600,000 of state capture funds are pooled in Zuckerbyte and then moved offshore. Most of it goes through Vala Zone, which launders $1.8 million into offshore accounts in 6 months, mostly in China and Hong Kong.
It's very commonly understood that if you're a South African institution and money goes abroad into Hong Kong, that money's gone. You know, it's gone forever.
A ledger from as early as 2012 shows that in just 4 months, Mo Dollars laundered almost $40 million from South Africa into Hong Kong and China.
This is pointing to the direction of ultimately where it's destined to go to. Once the money hits the foreign account, it's cleared. It then gets distributed according to whoever requires the funds on the other end.
And the stuff that you've discovered and the stuff that we've discovered with the Zondo Commission is just how vulnerable our financial institutions are to capture and how easy it was for this money laundering to happen. That's an incredibly worrying thing to acknowledge. These systems haven't worked. We haven't caught the wrongdoers. We haven't stopped the money flow.
Alistair Mathias designs structures specifically to hide state capture funds. An initial word of advice for our undercover reporter: put Mr. Stanley's money in her name.
Do it on the politician. For example, I buy a lot of stuff in my name on behalf of business. Mr. Stanley trusts you, he can keep things in your name. You have to have someone that you trust as possible. The politicians, they don't have the name owning anything. They always have a proxy that represents them, which everyone.
even in Russia, they have someone that they trust, like maybe a nephew or a cousin that holds all the assets. Africa, same thing. Someone they trust that runs all the businesses, and they continue being politicians. In Africa, they do government contracts. In Ghana, tenders, construction of roads, procurement, supplying different things, oil, this stuff. There, all the politicians get taken care of indirectly, which is what allows me to do all my other stuff freely.
So the government contracts is the way you reward the politicians, basically.
So what happens? The government will give me a contract. There's a lot of commissions from what they're doing. You want a commission, you want a commission.
Commissions in international world of anti-corruption is basically synonymous with bribery. So when he says commissions, I hear bribes.
I was the second oldest.
See, if you're a politician and you do a contract, you're not going to tell the whole world you're getting 10%. No one can know. But you trust me, so you say, absolutely, we'll keep it with you.
Matthias acts as a bank for corrupt leaders.
I earn the commission for them. Then it's a matter of data, okay, pay that, move it here, move there. So for example, Ghana government, Matthias Holding, I get the contract. I subcontract it to you. $100 million contract, Ghana government pays me $100 million. I give it to you and you say it's $80 million.
The contract is inflated $20 million above its real cost.
I have an agreement with that. When you get the same, it's going to have probably $5 million.
Matthias banks the $15 million for the corrupt politicians until they need it.
It's like all of it at work.
And wherever they want it. Stop me as that. That's how I do it.
And that is the way in which corruption is facilitated to create the corrupt funds. The corrupt commission is exactly how he's described. They overpay it and create an extra bunch of money that can be used to pay a politician.
Most important thing for me in Africa is people trust me. All the politicians trust that whatever money I have on theirs is safe. That's the biggest challenge that I have. They trust me because they know that I'll pay their commission.
That's incredible footage. That's incredible footage, it really is. Wow. I'm amazed.
The diplomatic mafia is trying to find a way for undercover reporters to pay a bribe to meet with President Mnangagwa. Angel has a British account.
If you do UK, I don't know. Is it easier? Is it quicker? Is it...
They ask a lot of questions.
He needs proof of payment.
What are you paying? It seems if you just say, yeah, but which account?
Ricky Doolan provides an invoice for partial payment of the bribe. It's described as a fee for marketing consultation by his British media company.
This is 100, okay? I think my watch is close to 50.
No, it's more. You're giving us the UK, which is not a good idea. You're going to be liable for tax.
Yeah, that's where the biggest problem is. I put another account, which is my solo account.
He offers to use the account of the Angel organization.
One account, of course, is millions.
A payment will provide everything Mr. Stanley needs.
This is the photo. This is our country.
Yeah.
Everything you want to get in here, you get it. And it is protected here.
Okay, well, let's sort the PLP problem out.
Yeah. What about that? What about this?
Yeah, let's sort it out then.
Yeah, well, it's sorted. It's just you with your PLP.
Okay, so the whole lot to your...
Yeah, account. Even if you do it 20, 20, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Angel worries the dirty cash will be laundered elsewhere. The best partner for Mr. Stanley is the president.
Because the difference is when you go to another place, someone, maybe another white guy, another black guy, is your partner.
Yeah.
In this case, that is your partner. So, you guys, you are really, really troubled by things that...
Minor.
Really minor.
From experience.
Yeah, but while you have experience, I've got a lot of experience. So, I'm the least person anyone would suspect to do.
Okay.
That's why I can be nice in doing that.
In August 2022, it emerges that South African authorities are investigating Mo Dollars.
They've frozen his assets. Yeah, they've frozen the assets enough. He's got his millions all over the world. He will not be short of money for a lifetime.
He's believed to be in Dubai.
He used to tell me, I'm not going to go down with little. I'm going to go down big. And then I used to tell him, are you mad? Just leave it now. Let it go now, let it go. He never let it go. Never.
Goldleaf Tobacco and Simon Rudland are also being investigated by the South African authorities. Kamlesh Patni is setting up gold operations in Venezuela after helping President Nicolas Maduro.
They've sent 500 kgs.
500 kgs?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
So it was intercepted in the, you know, here at
Dubai.
Then they say, okay, you know, Pastor, you can you tell? So I'll have to fly there to meet the president.
President of Venezuela?
Maduro, yeah.
Ewan McMillan is no longer Zimbabwe's Mr. Gold. He says he's given up bribing politicians.
I will never go down that road again. Pay them, pay, and you 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 pay. Like, and you f*** yourself, and you think, this is just so much money. Why am I f***ing paying this much money?
The undercover team do not pay the bribe to meet President Mnangagwa.
I think let's just cancel this, all right? When you guys are ready and assist, we meet and we do this. Maybe it's next month, whenever you're serious, we do it. What you are presenting is risky and somebody's trying to help you. Let's look for some other time. I'm still your guy. I'm going to help you.
Wada Latif still lives in South Africa.
Our lives were just bribing everybody around us. And then he goes, bribe whoever he needs to put out the fire. Money puts out fire, do you know that?
Daoud Khan is in a safe house.
For me to be talking like this openly with my face on camera, they are going to look at retaliation. So I definitely have to go into hiding.
Mo Dollars warns that if Daoud became a whistleblower, the response could be deadly.
What do you think is going to happen?
Why, what do those people do? They kill you, don't they?
Exactly. Do you think they're going to leave you alone? But do you think they're really going to leave you alone? Who are you to them?
These are individuals that has the capability of governments and their security services to be able to trace people, to look for individuals, find them and take them out. It's not only myself that's in danger from talking out, but it's going to be my entire family for an entire lifetime. I had 2 assassination attempts on myself last year. I've had Mohammed threatening me. I've had Mohammed threatening my family. Sorry.